Welcome to CattleCast with Capital Area District Library's Executive Director, Scott Dymstra.
Welcome to the special edition of CattleCast. In the spring of 1975, the U.S. government decided to save as many orphans as possible during the tumultuous fall of Saigon in the last days of the Vietnam War. On April 4, an aircraft lifted off the ground with hundreds of babies and young children crowded into its upper and lower decks, attended to by a crew of dedicated military men and women and a few civilian volunteers fleeing the chaos on the ground. Then a mysterious event occurred. A rear door blew open and the horror began 25,000 feet in the air. Here to share more about this sad story is Vietnam veteran Phil Wise, author of the book Fragile Delivery, Operation Babylift, C-5A Crash. Phil, welcome to CattleCast.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me.
What was the mission, Operation Babylift?
Operation Babylift was a humanitarian mission that launched by President Gerald R. Ford on April 4th, 1975. And it was launched because the Saigon was falling, and we had a lot of Amerasian orphans trapped inside of Saigon and throughout Southeast Asia. So President Ford decided to airlift them out of there before the communist regime moved in, fearing for their lives.
Sure. And can you tell us about that fateful flight?
Sure. On that day of, let's go a day prior to that day of the flight, April 3rd, I was on what we call alert duty, which is a 24-hour duty. It starts at 0700 hours one morning, and it goes to 0700 hours the next morning. So throughout the night, it was pretty slow in my squadron, aeromedical evacuation. And now my job was to fly aeromedical evacuation missions throughout Southeast Asia, including Vietnam. So on this 24-hour duty, I was just about off duty. At 6:55 a.m., got a loud knock on my door, which was the CQ, Sergeant Quarter, knocking. Sergeant Wise, you've been alerted to fly. I'm thinking it has to be a mistake because I only have 5 minutes to go, and I would have been off duty. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I went to the office there and called my squadron and find out if it was true. So yes, Wise, we got a mission here. So normally we keep our bags packed for an emergency mission. So I called me a taxi, and I went on directly to the flight line, which was normal for us to do, and went directly to the aircraft that I normally fly on, which is a DC-9 Nightingale. It's designed for aeromedical evacuation missions. So it has a big red cross on the tail, so you can notice that it's a military aircraft for
sure.
Medical purposes. Anyway, I went to the flight line. I saw that the aircraft engines going, and it was ready to taxi. So I'm running up to this aircraft trying to catch up with them before they take off with my bags in hand. Anyway, they opened up the door and said, Sergeant Wise, what can we do for you? I said, I've just been alerted to fly, and I'm supposed to be on this mission with you. So no, Wise, it's just a training mission. We're just going to go up, fly around, and come back. And this was in the Philippines, Clark Air Base, Philippines. So, but when they told me that, I went inside my squadron to find out what was exactly going on. And that's when I learned that something was going down in Saigon. And we were told just to hold back, hold tight, and we'll be briefed by the commander, the wing commander. So we sat around for about 4 hours or so. And that's when we were assembled in a briefing room. And that's when we learned that President Ford had ordered Operation Babylift, which was to go there to Vietnam and airlift these orphans out of Saigon. And that was the beginning of the mission.
And what happened after you got back to Clark Air Base in the Philippines?
Well, after I got back to Clark, I was in intensive care, so I need to back up a little bit.
Sure.
After we arrived in Saigon and we parked, let me go back a little bit more. We didn't fly the DC-9 Nightingale. That's when I learned after the briefing that we would take a different aircraft, which was the C-5A Galaxy. At the time, it was the world's largest cargo aircraft the Air Force had. Anyway, which was all of our surprise, because not any of us trained to fly medical missions on a C-5A Galaxy. So we got a quick training, walk around training on how the aircraft functions and how everything works. And we just had a meeting on what we need to take with us to Saigon as far as treating the babies. So we gathered all the supplies we need, and then it was a two-hour flight to Saigon. We arrived there on a tarmac, and it was when they opened up the doors, you could see lines of buses ready to be unloaded onto our aircraft.
Wow.
And in Vietnam, it's so hot. So as soon as you open up the door, you could just see waves of heat waves all down the tarmac. And imagine those babies waiting in those buses all that time. So when I got back to Clark, I was airlifted and placed in intensive care, which I don't remember as far as the flight back. I don't remember anything until after the plane. I was at Clark. So when I the plane crashed, we were at taking off. We were 15 minutes into flight and en route to the Philippines to refuel and fly on to Travis Air Force Base, California, where President Ford was going to meet the first orphans and then welcome to America. So anyway, 15 minutes into the flight, over the South China Sea at 25,000 feet, the rear cargo doors and ramp blew off in flight.
Wow.
Which I witnessed. I was positioned in the lower cargo section, and all the infants, babies and ages that ranged from 2 days old to 3 years old were positioned in the upper level, the troop compartment. And we had 77 seats, 78 seats, and we placed two babies per seat. So we had well over 170, 80 kids, babies in the upper level. Now, on the lower level where I was, in the cargo section, there were the older kids, anywhere the age just ranged from 5-year-old, 4-year-old, up to teenage. And then we also had adult patients and a civilian passengers that was volunteered to travel with us to help take care of these kids during this long flight back to the States. So we had female volunteers from the DAO, Defense Attaché Office, who volunteered. Most of those ladies were down below with me. Anyway, we even managed to make it to Clark. Well, we didn't make it to Clark. I'm sorry. Once the doors blew off, the pilot, Captain Trainer, turned the C-5 around to try to make it back to Tan Sanut Air Force Base in Saigon. And we couldn't quite make it because, with the doors blowing off, that kind of threw the aircraft maneuverability off because some of the hydraulic lines were broken off, and he did the best he could to bring the aircraft down, but sure. We lost power. So instead of going nose down first, he was able to go nose dive and then pull it back up to break the speed and dipped again to break the speed. So we realized that he wasn't going to make it to the base. So he saw a patch of a land out there. So he ended up bellying down on one side of the Saigon River, and we went airborne again for about a quarter mile, and we bellied down again. An aircraft bounced and broke apart, and of course debris was scattered for miles. And for me, I don't remember any of that. All I remember is the doors coming off and trying to breathe and not able to breathe.
Oh my gosh.
And I remember seeing the kids and being tossed around, debris being flying about in the cargo section as the door were gone. And I can remember seeing the blue sky and the white clouds and debris flying out the back of the aircraft. Anyway, I spent a day in 2 days in Saigon, which I went through treatment, and I was airlifted the next day or so back to Clark.
And so a number of the orphans as well too made it out of there?
Well, actually, we only lost one orphan in the troop compartment, upper level.
Uh-huh.
That was due to whoever had the kids. There was a sack of gold that was attached to the kid's neck, and that kid ended up being strangled.
Oh, my gosh.
And on the lower level, I was told that I was the only survivor on the lower level out of nearly 200.
Oh my gosh.
You know, later I learned later on, years later, there was one kid that survived and had severe head injuries.
Okay.
But for a lot of years, I thought I was the only survivor, but it ended up, thank God, another survivor.
Sure.
Made it out.
And what was life like when you first returned home from the military?
During that time, I returned home in May of 78, or 76, I'm sorry. And it was, you know, I had all these injuries. And I had a cane. And I didn't let anybody know what I went through. And they saw me all scarred up. And I always tried to wear long sleeve pants and long sleeve shirts to hide my injuries and wounds. Of course, my facial injuries were exposed, but people would ask me what happened to me. I would just tell a little fib. I was in a little accident, you know, because at that time, there wasn't a lot of love shown for Vietnam veterans. So I was pretty much ashamed to tell folks I was in Vietnam because they were labeled as baby killers. And folks not knowing my story, I'm trying to save babies. As time went on, I got a chance to think about what actually happened to me and try to, as far as my recovery. So I ended up severely injured with head injuries. My left eye was out. My head was open, chest injuries. My leg was, they found me in the wreckage. My left leg was entangled in wire cable where I was hanging upside down.
Oh my gosh.
In the burning wreckage. So the rescuers, which I was told were CIA guys operative, and they saw my white shirt, which I wore, we wore as a uniform, white shirts and blue trousers. So they saw my white shirt off into the burning wreckage and thought, wait, we got to save this medic's body so it won't char. So they ended up rescuing me and realized I was still alive.
And what's your fellowship with some of the babies who are now adults from Operation Baby Lift? Uh-huh. What has that experience been like?
In 2001, got myself a computer. I wanted to research the baby lift. And I came across this one of the nurses who treated me at the Seventh Day Adventist Hospital, a nurse by the name of Sister Susan McDonald. And she said prayers for me because she just knew I wasn't going to make it. So when I researched on Google, she was the first person associated with the baby lift that contacted me. And then she lived in St. Louis and she worked with the orphans in Vietnam. She ran several orphanages in Vietnam. So she had a group of orphans in St. Louis that was a part of her group that she always ushered to Vietnam for reunification flights. Anyway, she invited me to St. Louis to share my story, which I did. And I met some of the kids that were on my plane.
Oh, wow.
And I just happened to meet a guy by the name of Dan Bischoff. He was an orphan that survived the upper level of my aircraft. And then, anyway, he ended up becoming a journalist and he researched the baby lift and he was invited to Lockheed Martin for a tour of the C-5 facility. Anyway, we became friends and along with others.
And your story is featured in an upcoming miniseries on WKER, Veteran Narratives. Why is it important for veterans to tell their story?
I believe it's so important for healing. For a lot of years, I held it inside of me, you know, why? And then I wondered, why was I safe out of all those babies, all my crew members? I lost 11 crew members. And once I started talking about it, I started healing from within. Mm-hmm. And the first time I spoke about it was on national television. I was invited to share my story on 2020, Barbara Walter, Hugh Downs. Mm-hmm. And I was 9 years later after the crash. And once I started speaking about my story, what I went through, I started feeling better about myself and the mission.
And you also have a book as well, Fragile Delivery, Operation Baby Lift, the C-5 A Crash. Can you tell us about that book?
Yes. In November of Veterans Day, November 2012, I published my book. I thought it was important for me to share my story since I was the only survivor on the lower level of that crash that actually know what went on. And I thought it was important to get my story out and tell a little bit about myself, my family, and my career with the Air Force. And it's a very touching story. And I share stories where I reunited with some of the kids and some of the families of the adults who we lost in the crash.
Fantastic. Well, Phil, thank you, first of all, for your service, but also for coming on CattleCast and sharing your powerful story as well.
Well, thank you, sir.
There's a link to Phil's book in the episode description. And also, if you want to view the miniseries Veteran Narratives that features Phil, check your local listings for when the miniseries will appear on WKAR. And as always, thank you for joining me on CattleCast.
Check out and enjoy books, movies, music, and more from your Capital Area District libraries. Reserve items and schedule contactless pickup online or by calling your local branch. Cattle also has a large collection of digital titles that can be downloaded or streamed for free with a library card. For more information about the current services being offered by Capital Area District libraries, visit cattle.org. That's CADL.org.